It's time for Medical Monday, brought to you in the interest of your health by Our Lady of the Lake Regional Medical Center.
You know how we do it this time every Monday. It is time for Medical Monday, and greatly appreciate our partners over there at Our Lady of the Lake for setting this up and helping these conversations happen. Today, we're going to be talking ovarian cancer, and our guest is Dr. Sobhya Ozer. Sobhya, good morning. Welcome to Talk 107.3. How are you doing this morning?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing well. Yes, it's important to be discussing this topic, especially as it is September, and that is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month.
Okay. One of the things that we run into when we do this segment is there are just so many types of cancers out there. So we're going to walk through what ovarian cancer is and then walk through what we need to look for as well. But I feel like every time we have to kind of hit the reset button. So let's just start off with what ovarian cancer is.
So ovarian cancer is basically, first of all, what are your ovaries? So ovaries are small oval-shaped glands located on either side of the uterus. So ovaries are in women, of course. Mm-hmm. They produce and store your eggs and make hormones that control the menstrual cycle and, you know, eventually pregnancy if patients do get pregnant. Ovarian cancer begins when cells in or near the ovaries develop changes like mutations in their DNA. A cell's DNA contains the basic instructions that tell your cells what to do. The changes or mutations cause the cells to grow and multiply quickly. Unfortunately, it's not exactly clear what causes ovarian cancer. But studies have identified that there are things that can increase your risk of the disease. Mm-hmm. When those cells grow and multiply quickly, they essentially create a mass or a tumor of cancer cells, and then eventually they end up dividing, invading nearby tissues, breaking off from the initial tumor, and can eventually spread or metastasize to other parts of the body. So that's kind of like what ovarian cancer would be in a nutshell.
How common is it?
So the statistics for ovarian cancer is that it's the second most common gynecologic cancer in the United States. Ovarian cancer causes more deaths than any other cancer of the female reproductive system and ranks fifth in cancer deaths among women in general. It accounts for more deaths than any other cancer of the female reproductive tract. This cancer mainly develops in older women. About half of the women who are diagnosed with ovarian cancer are 63 years or older. Mm-hmm. The American Cancer Society estimates for ovarian cancer in the United States for 2023 that about 20,000 women will receive a new diagnosis of ovarian cancer, and about 12,000 women will actually die from ovarian cancer. So it's a tough disease.
Oh, we're talking with Dr. Sobhya Ozer about ovarian cancer, as it is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. Let's go back to the deadly part. Reiterate, if you could, how deadly it is. The potential.
Say it again.
One of the questions you were laying out the stats, just how deadly is it, not compared to other cancers, but in comparison to the number of instances of it?
Yeah, so if people are not treated at the right time, mm-hmm. and unfortunately if it's metastatic or stage 4 disease, unfortunately their life expectancy can be pretty grim. It could be less than 3 months if they're caught late stage, depending on how the cancer's affected them.
Now, one of the things that the tie that we find between every type of cancer out there is it comes down to early detection for all of it. Let's get into that. Does anybody need to be more aware than others? Are there certain groups of people that are more likely to develop ovarian cancer?
So there's no way to know for sure if you're going to get ovarian cancer. Mm-hmm. Most women get it without being at high risk, unfortunately. However, there are several factors that can increase a woman's risk for ovarian cancer. And that includes having close family members, such as your mother, sister, aunt, or grandmother, on either your mom or dad's side who've had ovarian cancer. So just having a family history can increase your risk. So you know you would need to look out for yourself. If you have a genetic mutation like BRCA1 or BRCA2 or one associated with the hereditary non-polyposis colorectal cancer, or formerly known as Lynch syndrome, patients who have endometriosis can be at increased risk, as well as those who are nulliparous or have never given birth. Some studies even suggest that women who take estrogen by itself without progesterone for 10 or more years may have an increased risk of ovarian cancer. So if one or more of those factors is true for you, it doesn't mean that you'll get ovarian cancer, but you should definitely speak with your doctor about your risk. If you or your family have a history of ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, or colon cancer, you should definitely speak to your doctor about genetic counseling to get tested.
Dr. Sobia Ozer is our guest. Let's continue down that path. Okay, let's say you are in that, you know, higher risk category. What does screening look like?
So screening is when a test is used to look for a disease before there are any symptoms. And unfortunately, there is no simple and reliable way to screen for ovarian cancer. So yes, we've just mentioned that some people may be at higher risk, but we don't necessarily have a good screening test, especially if patients don't have any signs or symptoms. So if you find out that you have a mutation, then obviously you would be watched by your gynecologist, you know, paying attention to any symptoms that come up. But when it comes to screening, I'll get into risk reduction in a minute, but for screening, since there's no reliable way to screen, it's just important to recognize any warning signs. So you want to pay attention to your body and know what is normal for you. If you notice any changes in your body that are not normal and are persistent, talk to your doctor. Now, what are those symptoms I'm sort of hinting at? Bloating, pelvic or abdominal pain, trouble eating, feeling full quickly. Urinary symptoms is a very common presentation where patients may have urgency, always feeling like they have to go, or frequency, having to go often. These symptoms can be vague, but again, if they're persistent, going on for more than 2 to 4 weeks, you definitely want to work on seeing your doctor and getting evaluated with something like an ultrasound or imaging, or of course, a pelvic exam. In average risk patients who don't have high risk, there's actually a recommendation against any type of screening. So there's no screening strategy like getting a tumor marker or transvaginal ultrasound. It's just not been shown to reduce mortality because there's a higher risk of false positive tests. And so patients usually won't really get much benefit from screening tests if they have no additional risk factors. If you do, then you would sort of see your gynecologist, get pelvic exams and any tests that's indicated based on findings. And so again, if you have a family history of ovarian cancer, in particular those who have a hereditary cancer syndrome, then there is this discussion of seeing a genetic counselor, consideration for genetic testing. And then if patients do have a mutation like BRCA1 or 2, they may benefit from a specific risk reduction strategy, like actually doing a bilateral salpingo oophorectomy where they actually take both ovaries out to decrease your risk.
This is Medical Monday. It's presented by the folks over at Our Lady of the Lake. We team up every single week to bring you a different medical topic. Okay, so let's walk down. You know, before we get to treatment, we talked early detection a minute ago. Let's talk the time it takes to develop. Like, what's our window here for development for that early detection?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. Ovarian cancer can progress from early stage to advanced stage within a year.
Yikes.
So from going from one stage to the next, it could just be a matter of months. And so when those symptoms of bloating, abdominal pain, or any, you know, something that's just not right, you know, irregular menstrual periods, changes in your cycles, constipation that doesn't seem to be getting better, or that feeling constipation, swelling in your abdomen, of course, weight loss, back pain. I know these are all vague, but it's sort of like something that's persistent. You just want to make sure that you're seeing your gynecologist at least yearly so that you are getting checked out and making sure nothing else is going on. Just because ovarian cancer, you know, when it comes on and if it's untreated or symptoms or signs are ignored, it can, you know, progress pretty rapidly.
So follow-up question there, and I hope I'm not really, I'm definitely stepping out of any level that I would personally know about, but how many of these symptoms and how many of these things you'd be on the lookout for would be the same as perimenopause or menopausal symptoms?
So those symptoms can be different because when people are going through menopause, they'll have like hot flashes, primarily. So you won't necessarily have hot flashes that would be associated with ovarian cancer.
Right.
It's mostly going to be, like, fatigue could definitely be with menopause, but it's going to be things that are a little bit different. So weight loss, unexpected weight loss, fatigue that is just not explained by anything else. Like I said, bloating, pelvic abdominal pain, those things you don't typically experience with menopause.
Gotcha.
Fatigue probably is the only common thing.
And the you said the irregular menstrual period as well. That's what triggered the question.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, no, I think if you're having irregular periods and your doctor is sort of like, hey, this doesn't look consistent with menopause, I guess I should clarify, when we say irregular periods, I mean like having more bleeding or unexpected bleeding.
Gotcha.
Versus bleeding that's sort of going away as we're transitioning to being postmenopausal. So yeah, so it's sort of like more so heavier bleeding, or if you never had bleeding before and you already went through menopause a couple of years ago, and then you start having spotting or bleeding, that is definitely new. It's not supposed to come back. Your cycles don't come back after you go through menopause. That's when you want to make sure you do see your doctor and get checked out. So yes, good question. For that transition point where our cycles do get irregular, it's more so for if you're having heavy menstrual periods and what's not expected with menopausal changes after discussing with your gynecologist.
See, I'm determined to get my medical degree 12 minutes at a time every Monday morning. Thanks to the folks over at Our Lady of the Lake. We're talking with Dr. Sobeya Ozer about ovarian cancer. Okay, let's talk treatment. What does that look like?
So treatment for ovarian cancer usually involves a combination of things. It also depends on typically, you know, how the patient is doing from the get-go. Are they healthy enough for surgery, for instance? But typically the treatment is to remove the cancer by surgery and chemotherapy, which includes special medications to shrink or kill the cancer. Chemotherapy typically is used before surgery to shrink things down to size. Then you get surgery, and then you follow it up again with chemotherapy on the back end to make sure if there's any cancer cells left behind after surgery that we sort of hopefully nip them in the bud. Mm-hmm. Depending on the type of ovarian cancer, pills can also be employed versus IV chemotherapy, which is given through an IV bag. Sometimes both can be used. So it's always important to mention, you know, that although we have treatments, there's always room for improvement, which is why clinical trials are so important. Clinical trials also are developing new treatment options to see if they're effective. And so that's why, you know, there's always that question of if there is a clinical trial available, you know, it's a great opportunity to use it. However, we do have standards where we follow, you know, in the United States, which is our typical regimen, which is chemotherapy, surgery, and then chemotherapy.
Yeah, you guys have really gone into overdrive with the learning, with the research, with the advancement. I mean, y'all are taking it to another level over there at Our Lady of the Lake.
Yeah, we try to. We want to make sure we can get the best technology, most advanced technologies for our patients.
Where do folks go if they want to learn more?
So if you have questions about any possible symptoms you have, would recommend that, of course, you discuss it with your primary care provider or gynecologist. Other great resources include the American Cancer Society at cancer.org, the CDC at cdc.gov, and can also look at our website for additional information at Our Lady of the Lake Cancer Institute at OLOLRMC.com/cancer.
Dr. Sobeya Ozer, I greatly appreciate the time and the information and putting up with my random questions as well.
No, of course. They're always good. They're always good.
This has been a Medical Monday presented by the folks over at Our Lady of the Lake. Dr. Ozer, thanks so much. I'm looking forward to the next time.
Thank you. Take care.